So right now, let us welcome in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Morning, Arthur.
Well, that was very gratifying. I thank you very much for that introduction.
It happens to be true.
It happens to be true.
And it's too early, frankly, to gratify.
You would not lie. You're incapable of lying.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but...
And there's 70%...
Anyway, 70. I want to move on to asparagus.
Oh, asparagus.
You don't want to know about your listeners?
That's more my area than it. Yeah, it is asparagus season, whether we like it or not. And I remember when I'm sure when you were a kid, nobody ate asparagus, did they?
We grew asparagus.
Canned asparagus, and they were horrible.
No. Not in Buffalo.
Not in Buffalo. You ate fresh asparagus.
Oh, indeed.
We always had fresh asparagus.
My mother and her stupid mayonnaise. But I learned about.
We always had
vinaigrette.
Fresh asparagus.
Yeah.
You know, we had to go out and pick them. As a matter of fact, my grandmother would send us out to pick them.
All right, I stand corrected. You're children of the country. I grew up in Brooklyn, where the only asparagus were in a can,
okay.
And they stunk.
That's true.
I now know why they stink, because. In fact, it's the same reason that your urine stinks when you eat asparagus, is that there's a sulfurous compound that makes your urine stink. So, however, some people say that their urine does not stink. There have been studies on this, and the reason they say that is they can't smell it. It's their smeller that's losing it.
Right there.
Anyway, I have no problem with the stink. I always remind people that when you eat asparagus, remember when you urinate in the morning that you ate asparagus or beets. Anyway, was this too much for you?
No. I think it's good guidance. I just think that people
just remember that you ate them.
Yeah, that's really all you have to do. But people,
and I eat a lot of them, so. Especially beets, and in fact, I was inspired this past weekend when I was in Philadelphia at my nephew's and nieces, that their Moroccan friend, Yassine, who is now my friend too, was telling me the different ways he prepares beets, Moroccan style. He loves beets. Anyway, back to asparagus, which is the season. It is spring. When I lived in Cornwall, I probably another week or two they were popping out of the ground, right? Not necessarily on May 1st, but very soon, even local asparagus, because it's a cool weather shoot that comes up out of the ground to make a plant. But in fact, we eat it before it makes this feathery plant. However, I have to say about asparagus decoratively, there are houses in Queens that I have seen decorated with a full-grown asparagus, and it makes a very nice decorative plant. But it's better to eat, and there's so many ways to cook it. I know that for years, was roasting them, and I'm still every once in a while roasting them. For Passover, it's sort of become a family tradition to have a roasted asparagus, but I don't put a lot of gunk on it. I noticed there are recipes on the Internet that have you add garlic and cheese and... Who remembers all the ingredients they put on these poor asparagus? So for me, they're perfect just the way they are, just with the tiniest bit of olive oil rolled in the pan, salt, and roast them 450 degrees. It depends on how thick they are, anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes. I like them tender. I mean, the only way to know are they to your taste is, excuse me, but I'm going to sneeze, I think, I'm pretty sure. Maybe not.
All right.
Anyway.
Gesundheit.
Excuse me. Anyway, that's fine with me. Lately, however, I've been sautéing asparagus in a manner that I learned at least 40 years ago, and you're going to laugh, at a cooking class. I was a reporter at Newsday, and I covered a cooking class for the blind. And this teacher showed the students how if they just rolled the asparagus back and forth and back and forth, they could make these nice shapes without having to see it, I guess. I mean, really, who remembers? But I learned this back and forth, back and forth. These days, I sometimes only go back or forth, not back and forth. But I love to cut them on a sharp diagonal. This is the whole point. point, exposing as much of the interior as possible. I snap off the ends. If you want to be thrifty as well as elegant, you can cut off less of the end and then peel the bottoms. I don't bother. 1 pound of asparagus for two people is a luxurious amount of asparagus, and that's what I did last night. Cut it on a sharp angle. And by the way, you can do it a number of them at a time. It doesn't have to be individual. In more or less the same angle as penne pasta. And I cook these with penne. So in a large skillet, maybe your largest, I use my largest nonstick, nice heavy aluminum nonstick, and I a tablespoon and a half of butter, 2 tablespoons of butter at the most, for a pound of asparagus trimmed. And saute them over fairly high heat for 3-4 minutes, then lower the heat a little bit, and cook them until they're, you know, you still want to keep them sizzling in the pan, but you don't want to burn the butter. So keep them and sprinkle them with some salt as you go. And when they're tender, when they're fully tender, you can either take the pan off the heat and continue this later, or if you're making it all together while the water's coming to the boil for the pasta. By the way, this should serve 2 or 3, 6 ounces of pasta. With a pound of asparagus and no more than 2 tablespoons of butter, but less is fine. And so you sauteed the asparagus, and then I threw in 2 ounces of ham, of boiled ham, whatever nice cooked ham, but not prosciutto, just cooked ham that you have. I had one in the house that's slightly smoky, and we like the little smoke added. So I threw, in fact, Bob said it made the dish, which is surprising for him since he usually doesn't like smoky things. But this is only subtly smoky. Anyway, I cut it into thin strips. It was already like a 16th of an inch thick. It wasn't paper thin for sandwiches. And I let that cook literally 1 minute over fairly high heat. And as soon as you see the slightest bit of brown, you don't want to really brown ham, so don't let it brown, just 1 minute, tossing it around with the asparagus, and then take it off the heat and add 1/2 cup of heavy cream. That's your sauce. Don't cook it anymore. The heavy cream, mine out of the refrigerator, cools it all down. I made the pasta an hour later. I boiled up 6 ounces of pasta, penne. I have to say, I thought about this in the supermarket yesterday, because I was in a, because this supermarket had a limited number of
pasta shapes.
Yeah, well, not pasta shapes, but they had Ranzoni, which is a brand I like very much. It's an American brand, but very high quality Italian style pasta. And they had a Barilla, which I'm sort of down on these days, but that wasn't why I didn't choose it. And they also had DiCecco, which I love. So what it was I was looking for penne, but the Ranzoni penne, which I was happy to buy in other situations, were too small. And I wanted, maybe if you have very thin asparagus, Ranzoni penne is the right pasta. But mine were thicker asparagus, and I wanted it all, the conceit here, not just the conceit, but the thing is that it mixes up, it integrates so well when you have the asparagus cut the same way as the pasta, and you could use rigatoni too, or ziti, even better, ziti, which is penne is basically ziti, but with cut on an angle instead of perpendicular to the edge. Anyway, when your pasta's done to your taste, drain it, throw it into the pan with the asparagus and the little bit of ham, and toss it around a minute or two, season it with salt and pepper. I use quite a bit of pepper, black pepper. And then I incorporated 3 tablespoons of grated Parmesan cheese. If you use a, I was going to say rasp, but what are they called? Microplane, to grate your cheese, you're going to need more than 3 tablespoons. But 3 tablespoons with a traditional grater. and that's it. Toss it around a minute or two. We like it a little moist. If you put it over the heat, you can put it over the heat for a minute or two, really a minute. But if you cook it again with the pasta in it, it gets a little dry. So I leave it pretty moist, and then I sprinkle on and the cheese thickens it a little bit, and then I sprinkle on another half tablespoon of cheese on top. Wow, is that good. So, asparagus. You know, I'm off my time. How much are you giving me here?
Guys? You got your usual amount of time. You have to stop in about...
I have a usual amount of time.
You've got about another 28, 18
minutes. Oh, I have a lot to say because today we're going to eat asparagus again. They were so good yesterday that I'm going to go out and buy the same asparagus again. And they were only $2.49 a bunch, which I thought was a pretty good price.
Yeah, which just tells you that it's in season.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Jill. Because when the price goes down, you know it's around.
Right.
yeah.
I was trying to think of a good one like that for know your audience, but when the price goes down, you know it's around.
You know it's around. So the reason that came to mind is because I play a game with my 5-year-old niece making rhymes. So I've been making rhymes for 12 days in Philadelphia. So anyway, so here's the thing with asparagus. It goes great with eggs. Now, how can we say this, Jill? Meaning that the eggs are in season too.
That's right.
And the asparagus are in season. They're in season at the same time.
It's a spring dish.
Some greater brain than ours, some greater force than ours has created this a beautiful symmetry.
I think that's just terrific.
Okay, so there are a lot of ways you can combine eggs and asparagus. And to me, the most memorable, if not most delicious, but no, it was pretty damn good, is I was in the Veneto many, many years ago at a restaurant that did this table side. They made what is essentially a mayonnaise, but with hard-cooked eggs instead of raw egg. And you can't do that. Egg yolks will emulsify oil and become a sauce, just as raw ones will. And I think there was a lemon juice, and probably, since it was so far up north, I wouldn't doubt if there was a drop of mustard in there. And we ate the white asparagus of the Veneto with this egg sauce.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good.
Well, it was, of course, the drama of having it done at the table side.
But also the non-raw, the hard cookedness makes it get past my my troll gates, so to speak.
Oh, you don't do raw egg?
I do. I mean, I would. I don't do raw. I don't do fried. I don't do fried egg sunny side up with all that yolk just drooling.
Well,
over.
That I understand.
So that's what I'm talking about.
You're gonna have trouble eating out in New York these days because everything comes with a fried egg on top.
No, I just eat the white.
Lentils with the fried egg on top.
I've always just eaten the white. Whenever I see someone do that, I say make it hard cooked. You know, in other words, overcooked.
Well, I totally understand. That way you can have it once over easy where it's not going to be runny.
Yeah, and so I just say once over hard to avoid
Well, okay. In my experience, they never get it right, so it's always once over hard.
Right. Well, I actually...
Anyway, here's what I want to do today. Because I came home to a box of shmura matzah. This is handmade matzah for Passover. And it's from a bakery that I love. From Lubavitch, the Chabad people. Like in Southern California, in San Diego. I was interested. That's such a very beautiful, large Chabad center. Chabad is headquarters down the street from me, pretty much, here in Brooklyn. Anyway, this Chabad bakery... makes great matzah, and I make great matzah brei with it. Matzah brei is something that if you're very Orthodox, you don't eat on Passover, because until, I think it's the last 2 days you can, because you're not supposed to moisten matzah during the holiday, if, you know, if it shouldn't ferment. So only at the end can you moisten the matzah. And I'm sure that the rabbis have decided, well, this is so we don't waste it. But truth be told, I always have some matzah left over in January, so it's April to January, and some, you know, day when you don't want to go outside and there's nothing in the house to eat, remember I wrote this book, I make matzah brei, eggs and matzah. I have it in the house, even in February. I still have it in the house. So I'm going to make it today, but with asparagus. And I think instead of cooking it all together on top of the stove, I'm going to bake it in the oven. So I'll tell you next week how that came out. And the other thing I love to do with asparagus and eggs is what you would not like, Jill, but a runny egg with the browned butter that it fried in poured on top. If you want to, this is not something to eat if you want it hard, because what I'm going to tell you to do is to put salt, pepper, and grated Parmesan cheese on top, and then dip your asparagus into the egg yolk and get it all mixed up with the cheese and the seasoning. And it's fun to eat as well as good. But you could put it on toast if you want to, and then at the end eat the toast. So now I want to segue, without a segue, into watercress, which I, in theory, I'm thinking, should not have a season because going to be grown in a greenhouse in water or around water. Or I know a patch of wild watercress in Queens, but it only grows around streams and creeks and I guess little ponds as well. It needs water. That's why it's called watercress. And it's in the same family as broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. It's that cruciferous, not cruciferous, Brassica? How do you
brassica.
Say it, Jill?
Isn't it brassica?
Some brassica, I think that's how you say it. It's in the same family, and if you've never eaten watercress, it tastes a tiny bit like radish. It has
peppery.
A peppery quality without it being pepper. I would say it's the pepperiness of a radish. And in fact, I like a salad of watercress and sliced or diced radishes, and it's something that I didn't invent at all. It used to be served, I should say, it was served at the former Prime Meats restaurant here in Brooklyn, which was my favorite steak in town. But they've closed it to become a wine bar with food, although I haven't eaten there yet. They promised that they'll bring back the steak. But they used to serve the steak with an enormous salad of watercress and radish. And I thought it went particularly well with the steak, too. A nice foil for a grilled steak. But I've been eating it just like this. Now, the thing is this, though, it's hard to... Oh, by the way, watercress is the new kale, Jill.
Really? What a relief.
It's the thing you should eat to ward away all evils. It actually is extremely healthy, and I think way better in a salad than kale. I don't like kale uncooked. Even baby kale to me is too tough to eat raw, or not so enjoyable. I never looked up to see which is more nutritious. You know, most vegetables are more nutritious when they're cooked than when they're raw, broccoli being an exception. I guess cabbage might be an exception, too, since they're very similar, and we do eat a lot of coleslaw. I happen to love coleslaw of all kinds. Anyway, back to watercress. It has that little peppery flavor, and it goes great with grilled meat. But just like that, it's terrific, too. And I'm going to experiment with it, but the problem is finding it. Today I'm going to go search at the fancy supermarket around the corner and hope that they have it. My nephew had no trouble getting it from Fresh Direct, which is the delivery service. And, in fact, it was extremely good watercress in bags, so that it, and it was all trimmed. I mean, the kind of watercress that I'm used to more is on a stem still, and you eat the stems. They're delicious.
You absolutely.
I mean, you
stems.
Might want to trim off the end, but that's about it.
Yeah, but I mean.
And watercress, by the way, is so they're saying. I haven't done full research on this, but I've read a little bit that watercress has tin, antioxidants, high in vitamins. This that. Oh, here's something I learned over the weekend from my nephew, the doctor. A lot of people who are on Coumadin are told not to eat dark greens. I have a friend who's been on Coumadin for a long time. It's a blood thinner, who doesn't eat any lettuce but iceberg. But now I don't know why her doctor hasn't recommended this, but there are other blood thinners where you can eat leafy greens. And the culprit in the dark leafy greens is vitamin K, and watercress happens to be very high in vitamin K, and also folates, which is, I have a Chinese healer, acupuncturist that I go to. She's actually Korean, but she studied in China, and she does all those Eastern Chinese things. And she said to me one day, oh, you need more folic acid. Now, I have to say, Chone is married to a Polish Jew, a New Yorker, and they live in the Garment District, or what used to be the Garment District, but they've been there for so many years, it was the Garment District. So Chone says, you need more folic acid. I said, oh, you want me to eat soba noodles? Because that would be the Asian source for folic acid. She said, oh, no, kasha varnishkas.
That's funny. How are we for time?
We have exactly 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minutes? Yeah, I thought that was going to be a finale joke.
Ha. Huh. No, yeah. We've got...
Somebody laughed.
I did.
There we go.
But wait, one second.
There we go.
I have to throw this out, and, you know, as everyone... I happen to like the taste of watercress about 3,000 times more than I like the taste of kale. But
oh, yeah, me too.
Kale has... find out what, if there are any long-term deleterious effects of stuffing watercress into your body. Because...
No,
because it's a balance.
Everything in moderation.
That's the...
You know, certainly... One or two, you know, you don't have to eat straight watercress. It's wonderful mixed with other greens.
I know, but people will juice it. People will listen and go, oh, it's the new kale, and
juicing
juice it.
Is, don't even get me going on juicing.
Right, but the point is that's how you end up basically menacing your metabolism.
Absolutely. You know, there is information out there about how too much kale will
whack your thyroid. Oh, it's just that there's all sorts of things, and unfortunately, in the let's just say the age of screen or screen age, people tend to not get sufficient. They get on a horse and they don't have sufficient information about.
Well, Americans are always looking for a silver bullet.
Always. All right, now Marshall just shot
sort of
me with a silver bullet.
Every part, it's just part of our culture, I guess.
Yeah, now it's time for the silver bullet to end the show. This
which
special,
is not,
this
which
special
P.S.
show.
Is not 5 minutes.
It was 3.5 minutes.
Well, okay.
Thank you very
now,
much.
It's good that I have time on my hands to do this, but I really have to go search for watercress today.
All right. Well, I hope that you...
I don't want to go to Queens to pick it.
No, I understand. So watercress and asparagus. Now, that's a good mixture, too, by the way. You can put your asparagus...
I bet it is.
Yeah, you put your asparagus over a little watercress, little chopped egg, little olive oil. Mm, yum.
Yeah, I must say, hard-boiled eggs and asparagus is a nice lunch.
Put watercress over asparagus and then melted cheese on top of it.
Oh, gross.
No melted cheese.
There's a
no
reason.
No,
that's just
watching
disgusting.
Watching too much television.
Obviously. That is
they put
disgusting.
Melted cheese on everything.
I know. Have you noticed?
I mean, you know this. I don't want to get on my horse today, but it's all about, we should have to do this and that and the other thing to live longer and be healthier and da-da-da-da-da.
And then
all the... food TV is about is hamburgers with melted cheese.
Right. Or a shoe with melted cheese on it. Right. People eat.
Or cakes with layers of buttercream.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yum. Right?
There you go, Paula Deen's
More
Kitchen.
More than cake. Buttercream.
Paula Deen's Kitchen. You're a highway to death.
Well, let's not pick on poor Paula.
No, let's not pick on Paula.
Anymore.
Her recipes are enough to pick on.
She's learned her lesson. Is she still on TV?
Yeah, she's on some really inexpensive shopping channels, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which, right, we're going.
I'm not telling you to buy anything from her.
Okay.
There's so many more people to dump on.
Yes, poor Paula. All right.
Poor Paula.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to say poor Paula.
Okay.
I enjoy talking to you.
Always a thrill. Love to Bob. Well, thank you.
We'll speak to you on Monday.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, with a very special presentation here on Robin Hood Radio.